Good morning, church. It's such a thrill, such a honor for me to be here today with wonderful people of God in Miracle Life. Such a great church indeed. I want to start by saying a very huge thank you to Pastors Walker and Haley for such honor afforded me to be on this pulpit today. I don't take it lightly in the least. And you know something, folks, you've got great pastors. Wonderful pastors, awesome people who have such a heart for God's people, a heart for God's work. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, just like Pastor Walker said, I'm Tokes. I'm from Nigeria. I'm happily married, husband of one wife. Praise the Lord. Who happens to be female. That's my family there. And I have three kids. The first, a girl. That's the one on the extreme right. The second, the one on the extreme left. That is Away on the right. That's Sophie on the left. And the one in the middle, a boy, who will be one next month. His name is Victor. Victor. My wife's name is Akuna, as in Akuna Matata. Yeah, she's the one that makes me the thrill immature. Praise the Lord. Well, let's look into God's word today. You might want to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Rema, Nigeria is doing fine. Thank God for so much I've learned just coming here, meeting the wonderful team, the great things happening in this school. Just so much to learn. So much to learn from you guys, warm people, loving people, and I love you. That's the truth. I love Zambia. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll read verse 13 and take it as our text. If you want to title messages, you might want to title this message, The Spirit of Faith. The Spirit of Faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. I'll read that again. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, for this great service. Thank you for your word. Thank you because the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Our minds are open. Our spirits receptive. We trust that by your spirit you will unveil, unfold, and reveal the word of God to our spirits. And we won't just be hearers of this word, but we'll be doers of the same. Thank you because burdens are lifted, yokes are destroyed, and the saints are edified. And we give all praise, honor, and adoration for everything that will be wrought in our midst to that worthy and majestic name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, in that place where we read, it says, we having the same spirit of faith. We having the same spirit of faith. Notice it doesn't say we're trying to get it. It doesn't say we're hoping for it. It doesn't say we're praying peradventure God to think about possibly being in the notion of considering whether or not he might perhaps give it to us. No, we having the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. It's clear from that scripture that there is a spirit to faith. There's a spirit to it. Yes, faith is a message, but it's also a spirit. In Romans chapter 10 from verse 6, the Bible says that the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven to bring Christ again from above, or who shall descend into the deep to bring Christ again from the dead. Verse 8 says, but what seeth it? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You notice that in the 8th verse there, it says, it calls it the word of faith. So yes, it's a word. It's a message. But it's not just a message. Like I said, it's a spirit. Amen. It's an attitude. An attitude of one's heart. You know, sometimes folks have it down pat when it comes to the principles of faith. Romans 3:27 says that the law of faith, calls it the law of faith. Amen. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. So it calls faith a law, if you like, a principle or a message. Yes, it's a principle. Yes, there are principles involved. But you see, it's an attitude of the heart. What's this spirit of faith? What's it all about? It's an attitude that believes God's word, regardless of circumstances, regardless of adversity, and speaks God's word consistently, no matter what. That's that spirit of faith. An attitude, like Pastor Hagin will say, of I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. It's a winning attitude, a positive attitude, a victorious attitude. If you read that place in context, if you start from about the 7th verse, the Bible talks about the fact that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It says we are troubled on every side, but not distressed, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You see, Paul didn't deny that he was troubled. He was. Faith faces up to facts. He said, I may be troubled on every side. Not just one side. Every side. He said, I'm not distressed. He said, I may be persecuted. He said, guess what, folks? I'm not destroyed. You see, it's an attitude of the heart. That in spite of opposition, in spite of challenges, in spite of tests, it stands its ground. It wins no matter what. You see, the 16th verse of that chapter, it says that, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So you see, it's an outlook that refuses to consider adversity. It refuses to dwell on the impossible. It believes that, look, there's no such thing as the word impossible. It does not exist. See, that's that attitude we're talking about. A positive outlook. A positive disposition. An attitude that gets excited when the challenges show up. You see, James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. The Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, diverse trials, diverse adverse circumstances. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. It says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You see, faith laughs at mountains. The spirit of faith, it eats impossibilities for dessert. That's it. That's it. When opposition comes, it gets excited. Oh, glory to God. Another opportunity to prove that the word works. Another opportunity to act on God's word. Another opportunity to bring glory to God. Glory to God. See, that's that attitude I'm talking about. A positive attitude. See, Matthew 11:12 says that from the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. That word suffer is 1611 English. It actually means it permits. It allows. Violence. Now, does that mean you should be a wife beater? Does that mean you should kill people, shoot guns? No, it's not that kind of violence. It's talking about spiritual violence. Amen. It says, but the violent take it by force. That's that spirit of faith. It takes what it is. It takes what belongs to him. Looks inside the word of God. It says, well, if God promises it, then it's mine. It looks to what God has said. It says the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. See, that's the attitude I'm talking about. Psalm 34 verse 19 says many, maybe the afflictions, and that word means the tests and trials of the righteous. It says, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Glory to God. He always delivers us. He always causes us to triumph. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14, the Bible says, thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus, makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. 1 Corinthians 15:57, the Bible says, now thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not trying to get victory. We're not doing battle with the devil. Jesus already whipped him. Jesus already brought him to naught. Jesus already reduced him to nothing. Colossians chapter 2 verse 15. The Bible says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That word spoil, it's a little blind to us. One translation says having disarmed. Another says having defeated. Another says having put to naught principalities and powers. Jesus brought the devil to nothing. You see, whatever test you're faced with, whatever circumstance you're faced with, it's the devil that's behind it. And that devil is under your feet. That devil has been reduced to nothing. Hebrews chapter 2 verses 14 and 15 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had, he doesn't have it anymore, that had the power of death, talking about spiritual death, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You see, Jesus met the devil in the devil's domain. Jesus reduced him to nothing. Jesus paralyzed him. Jesus disarmed him. Jesus defeated him. Jesus despoiled him. Jesus disarmed him. Jesus dethroned him. Jesus reduced him to nothing. It's beneath your feet. Amen. And that's why when the devil shows up with those challenges, when the devil shows up with those tests, you tell him, devil, was that your best shot? Was that your best shot? With all the name you bear, devil, Satan. So that's all the harm you could cause me. So that's all the trouble you could cause me. You just look down on it. Say, no, that's too small. You can't touch this. Glory to God. I'm more than a conqueror. Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You see what I'm talking about? It's an attitude. It's an attitude. Don't just walk in the principle. And in the principles of faith, realize there's an attitude to it. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. An attitude of joy, regardless of what you're going through. An attitude of peace, even in the midst of the greatest storms. You see, Romans 15:13 says, the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing. You see, when you're really believing God, when you're walking in this spirit of faith, there's a joy you will have. You'll be full of joy. When the problems show up, you just thank God for the problem. Now, you're not thanking God because of the problem. You're thanking God in spite of the problem. You're thanking God because it's another opportunity to act on his word. So, you see, never let the devil steal your joy. Never let the devil steal your shout. Never let the devil steal your praise. The Bible says in Hebrews 10 that they took joyfully the spoiling of their goods, knowing in themselves that they had in heaven a better and a more enduring substance. You see, if the devil cannot steal your joy, he cannot keep your goods. If you stay full of joy, if you maintain a shout, if you maintain the spring on your feet, amen, and the shout on your lips, and that attitude, you square up your shoulders. You walk tall. Why? Because you're the King's kid. Why? Because you're a child of the Most High God. Why? Because you're complete in him, who is the head of all principalities and powers. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Why? Because the devil is not big enough. Circumstances are not big enough. Situations are not big enough. Because you've got that spirit of faith. So it's full of joy. It's full of peace. It's full of peace in the face of the storm. One day I was on an international flight. And, actually I was going to India at that time. And it happens to have been a KLM KQ flight. They had a partnership then. We got to Kenya. Then we took off from Kenya heading to India. This was quite some years back, over 10 years ago. And then all of a sudden, the plane had taken off, we were moving. The captain just gave an announcement. Said, well, there's a situation. The altitude meter is not working. We don't know the distance we are from the ground. Now, that's pretty serious. You know, whether you're about to hit the ground, they're about to hit another plane, they can't tell. So we're going to have to look for a way to get this plane down and get everybody inside another one. Kindly bear with us. You know, that's not very good news, is it? And I'm sure you might be wondering, what did I do when I heard that? You might think, well, I must have started praying. Oh God, oh God, oh God, don't let me die today. Don't let me die today. Oh God. Do you really want to know what I did? I should tell you what I did. You really want to know? You're sure you want to know? Well, I'll tell you all the same. Amen. I slept off. You know why? Because when I left my country, I said I was going to India. I wasn't there yet. I wasn't there yet. I wasn't there yet. There was no use praying. I had said it. Ecclesiastes 8:4. Where the word of a king is, there's power. I had spoken. I had spoken. Not because of anything I am in the flesh, dust and ashes. You see, in ourselves, we're nothing. It's Jesus who is everything. And it's in him that we're something. Amen. Because of this spirit of faith. Because of this attitude. You see, just like Jesus told the disciples, he said, let us pass over onto the other side. That was it. You know why he stopped that storm? Their unbelief. He didn't need to. There was enough power in the words he spoke to get them to the other side. After he spoke, he slept off. And I just decided to follow his example. Obviously, you see, that plane didn't crash. I'm alive today. Amen. So you see, it's an attitude, a positive disposition that believes God's word and keeps speaking the same things that the word of God says. That's that spirit. So it has the element of joy with it. It has the element of peace with it. It has the element of determination with it. Amen. The Bible says the trying of our faith works patience. You see, God is not the one trying your faith. God already knows your faith. He knows what it's made up of. Any test, any trial you're facing, it's not the work of God. It's not the work of God. God is not a bad God. God is a good God. God is a good God. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You see, Jesus is the healer. Satan is the oppressor. Anytime you see something going wrong, something negative, it wasn't God. It wasn't God. It wasn't God. You know, sometimes people have built spiritual air castles that God is running everything. You know, we make statements like, God is in control. Well, that's how God wanted it. That's fatalism. That's not necessarily how God wanted it. The Bible says the heavens belong to the Lord. The earth he has given to the sons of men. Amen. It's all because of Adam's treason. Adam sold out to the devil. And then Satan became the god of this world. So you see, the things happening, they are not necessarily the work of God. Anything evil, it doesn't come from God. You see, D for devil. Take the D out. What's left is evil. G for God. Add another O, it becomes good. God is good. Like our robots will say, God is a good God. The devil is a bad devil. There's no goodness in the devil and there's no badness in God. God is altogether good and the devil is altogether bad. So you see, when the challenges come, just know this is not God. Sickness comes at your body. Lack comes in your life. There's a family problem. There's a situation. Something that's going contrary to what God has purchased and provided for you. What do? You just sit there and say, quit, Sarah, Sarah. What shall be, you can never tell. God walks in mysterious ways. He's wonders to perform. He's going to turn it around. Everything's going to come around good. It's always darkest before dawn. Listen to me. Don't do that. Stand up to him. Say, Mr. Devil, that's you. That's not God's will. That's not God's plan. I'm not going to settle for it. Sickness is not from heaven. I don't take things that don't come from heaven. Matthew 8:17 says himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. If he took your sickness and he bore your diseases, any sickness or disease in your body is not your own. What do we call people who hold on to stuff that's not theirs? Are you one? Stand against it. Tell the devil, no, you're not going to put this on me. I'm not going to allow this in my body. I'm not going to allow this in my life. You see, God is El Shaddai. He's not El Chipo. He's not. The Bible says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:19. 2 Corinthians 8:9. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Verse 14 says that the blessing, I love that, the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. You see, we are the blessed of the Lord. Colossians 1:12-14, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You see, we have an actual redemption from the devil's dominion. Glory to God. So anything that's not of God, anything that's not right, whether it's spiritual death, whether it's sickness or disease, whether it's poverty or lack, or an opposition from the devil, an oppression, what do? You stand your ground with that spirit of faith. You stand up to him. When the devil shows up, then you too show up. You too show up. You are complete in him who's the head of all principalities and powers. Ephesians 1 from verse 19 to 23. The Bible says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You see, your feet are not in your head. Your feet are a part of your body. Jesus is the head. God put all the forces of hell far beneath the feet of Jesus, and he's the head. The church is the body. Listen to me. Even if you are the weakest Christian in the body of Christ, the devil is still far beneath you. Even if you are the little toenail on the left foot of Jesus, the devil is still far beneath you, because we are seated with him at the right hand of the Father. Glory to God. Stand up to him. You've got that spirit of faith. Two simple points I want to leave with us today. The first is this. If you're born again, you need to know that you have the spirit of faith. If you're born again, you've got faith. It takes faith to get saved. Saved people have faith. In actual fact, the new birth is the greatest miracle that there is. It's the greatest. The same faith that got you saved will get you healed. The same faith that got you saved will get you filled with the Holy Ghost. The same faith that got you saved will get your needs met. It's just a matter of feeding that faith and using it. If you're born again, you've got faith. Romans 12:3. The Bible says, but I say through the grace, Paul speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, through the grace that's given to me, to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, that's not every man in the world, because he was writing to saints, not folks who ain't. And he told them, I say through the grace given to me, to every man among you. Who's the you he was writing to? Romans 1:7 says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. So if you are a saint, you've got faith. You've got faith. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Notice 2 Corinthians 4:13, we have it. We're not promising God, okay, God, I'll fast twice a week. Oh, okay, God, I'll double up on my giving. If only you give me the spirit of faith. No, he's already given it to you. You don't need to earn it. You don't need to try to get it. You got it. When did you get it? When you got saved. Now, you may have that spirit of faith and not know you have it. And if you have something, you don't know you have it, it won't do you any good. Amen. So you've got the spirit of faith. That's the first thing I want to leave with us. Child of God, you've got the spirit of faith. You've got the spirit of faith. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. The Bible says, stir up the gift of God that's in you. Verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. You don't have a spirit of fear. You have a spirit of power. You have a spirit of love. You have a spirit of a sound mind. You have that spirit of faith. You've got it. You've got that attitude. It's inside you. It's inside you. It's part of the DNA of the family. Every child of God has it. It's etched inside you. That's what you are made up of. You are made up of the substance of God's being. You see, 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Verse 5 says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You are a world overcomer. You're a champion. You're more than a conqueror. You have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God cannot remember your past. It's been remitted. It's been blotted out. You've got that spirit of faith. You've got that spirit of faith. Isaiah 41:10. God said, fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, I'm thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, sometimes folks say, oh, I'm just so afraid. God said, don't be. He said, why? He says, I'm with you. I'm with you. He said, but I feel so weak. He said, I will strengthen you. I feel so helpless. I will help you. Oh, I feel like just giving in and giving up and giving up. He said, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. In Jude 24, he says, now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his throne with exceeding joy. So you see, you've got that spirit of faith. That's what you've got. You need to know you have it. And secondly, my second point is this. Act on the spirit of faith. Act based on it. Walk in it. Exercise that spirit of faith. Use it. See, there's something about being in the right company. Being around people who believe like you do. This is such a wonderful church. You hear such wonderful truths from God's word. Such wonderful godly leadership you have here. This is a place where the spirit of faith is seen in demonstration. You see, use it also. You've got it. Exercise it. Activate it. Operate it. Say, how? It's so simple. So simple, you'll need a preacher to help you misunderstand it. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. It's as simple as that. Believe and speak. Believe and speak. Believe and speak. Believe and speak. What's that mountain that ails you? What's that circumstance that's standing in your way? What's that mountain, that obstacle? You see, find out what the word of God says about it. Find out what God's word says about it. Once you know what God's word says about it, believe what the word says and say it with your mouth. Say it with your mouth. You see, it's a spiritual law. Our words dominate us. Our words rule us. Proverbs 6:2 says, thou art snared by thy words. Thou art taken. The margin says, taken captive by the words of your mouth. You said you could not do it. And the moment you said it, you were whipped. You said you did not have faith. And that instance, doubt rose up like a giant and bound you. You talked failure and failure held you in bondage. You see, our words, they dominate us. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Proverbs 18:20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. With the increase of his lips shall he be filled. You see, in Job 19:2, Job told those friends of his that came as comforters, but ended up being tormentors. He said, how long will ye vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? You see, words can break and words can make. Words can heal and words can make sick. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Why not start saying what the word of God says? Say the same thing that God's word says about your situation. Just keep saying the same thing. Keep saying the same thing. Say it himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I'm the healed walking in health. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Satan, I forbid you in this body. I stand against disease. I stand against sickness. You speak. You speak. You believe and therefore you speak. You believe and therefore you speak. Whatever the circumstance, financial peril, find scriptures that cover your case. Believe those scriptures in your heart. Build them on the inside of you. And then start to say them. Start to say them. Start to say them. Look, even if you don't believe something, if you'll say it long enough, it'll register on your spirit and you'll start believing it. But listen, you are a believer. You're not a doubter. You do believe. So say what you believe. Say what you believe. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Why are we told to hold fast our profession? That word profession is confession. Why are we told to hold fast to it? Now, this is my Bible, one of them. I just like Bibles. Bless my heart. Well, this is my Bible. I don't need to hold fast to it. I can even leave it here, which is what I've done for the past minutes. I don't need to. But let's say four hefty, strong, well-loaded men were trying to get it from me. What will I need to do to keep it? I'll have to hold on tight to it. You see, the devil knows that your continual confession of the word of God is his defeat. He knows it. The moment you get on that road and you start speaking what God's word says, the devil gets nervous. My God, he says, ooh, they got it. They're on the right road. I can't stop them anymore. I can't stop them anymore. They're on the right road. They're on the right road. Oh, God. Oh, God. Well, he doesn't say, oh, God. It's just me trying to say it. Praise God. You know? Oh, he's got a hold of it. Then you know what the devil does? He knows as long as you keep saying what the word of God says, that's his defeat. So he tries to make it look like it's not working. He tries to make it look like the spouse is not coming. He tries to make it look like, oh, you will never marry. Another Valentine's Day is coming. You're going to be lonely. You're going to be lonely. You better forget it. But that's what the devil said. The Bible says there shall none lack their mate. The Bible says whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The Bible says it's not good that a man should be alone. I'll make a help meet for him. Now there's some folks who shouldn't marry, don't want to, and that's great. But if you want to, well, just know that there's a man who's alone. And it's not good. It's not good. It's not good. And God has crafted you to fix the matter. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. And then you call him forth. You call him forth. The Bible also says a faithful man who can find. Just stand on his word. God, I desire to be married. I believe you for a spouse. You can't claim a particular person, but claim a godly spouse. Let God work out the details. Amen. And then follow your heart. Be led. And God will cause your paths to cross. And thank God for such a wonderful program, such a wonderful opportunity. Let me tell you a little secret. I met my wife on Valentine's Day. Yeah. First time I met her, it was a Cinderella story. And I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. The church I attended, we had this program on Valentine's Day. You know, I didn't want to go. I was like, oh God, why will somebody go for this kind of meeting? Oh, I want to be praying in tongues. Oh, can't I just listen to more CDs? You know, God puts packages together that will help us. And sometimes the very things God has set in the local church to fix some things for us, we kick against them. I didn't want to go. But I said, okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to submit to leadership. I went. And then while the program was going on, the MC said, there's some men here, eligible bachelors. Over eligible bachelors. Let them come out now. You know, I didn't want to come. Then they started calling names. Then they called my name. When they did, I ran. I ran away. Then someone ran after me. Real life story. Real life story. They got me back. I got there. And then there were these, I called some ladies, very good looking, sweet, God loving, sanctified, holy daughters of the Most High God. They called them to come out and drop one leg of their shoes. Real life story. Real life story. Well, so we had to pick. I just picked one. And then the deal was, whoever shoe you pick, whatever she asks you to do, you do it. Tells you to dance, you dance. Tells you to sing, you sing. Tells you to do whatever. Take her out on a date. Well, you're going to have to. Oh, when she came, I said, please, I don't know how to dance. Can you tell me to sing you a poem? He said, okay, I'll be merciful to you. You know, exercise myself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. I reeled one out. Just reeled out a psalm. And then that's how we met. And the rest is history. You can see there's stuff in my hands. And there's some kids right there. Amen. But I'll tell you another side of it. A month before that time, I actually got serious. I said, look, I've been single too long. It's time for me to get married. Then I started speaking God's word. I call myself happily married. I call myself happily married. I meet the right person. I marry the right person. I call myself happily married. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I make the right choice. Our paths cross. I began to say it. You see, in Mark 11:23, Jesus said, he shall have whatsoever he saith. If he'll believe in his heart that what he says will come to pass. And it happened. Am I happy? I'm telling you. I'm happy. My home is working. I'm in love. Amen. God's word works. God's word works. So that's that spirit of faith. That's that spirit of faith. Imagine David. There was a Goliath. For 40 days, that guy would talk. Said, bring one of you guys. Let me face him. Since when was it the enemy that dictates the terms of battle? That's wrong. Why are they letting the devil do that? Bring one of you. 40 days. They'll go sit down and listen to his sermon. See, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith in God comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith in the devil comes by hearing and hearing the word of the devil. Some folks have been feeding on the wrong stuff. Stop feeding on the devil's stuff. They'll say, bring one of you. I'll kill him. You'll be our slaves. He kept saying that. He kept saying that. Then there was this ruddy young boy, perhaps just a teenager. He heard them. And then he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies of the living God? See, that's covenant talk. Uncircumcised. What did he mean by that? He's not in the covenant. To defy the armies of the living God. You see, he saw himself as in covenant with God. He said, I'll take him out. 75 times. I'll kill him. I'll cut his head off. He didn't even have a spear. He didn't have a sword. How was he going to do that? But he said it. He said it. When Goliath of Gath came, the moment David saw him, the Bible says he hastened towards the Philistine. He ran towards him. It's like, my God, this is good food. I'll take him out. I'll take him down. Some folks saw this guy so big, we can't get him. David said, he's so big, I can't miss him. That's that spirit of faith. That's that spirit of faith. You see, God told the children of Israel that the land of Canaan was theirs. They got to Kadesh Barnea, Numbers 13. At the Lord's leading, they sent out 12 spies to go spy out the land. 10 of them came back with what the Bible called an evil report. 2 of them came back with what the Bible called a good report. They said, look, there are giants in the land. Oh, in Lusaka. Oh, the giants. The giants, the jobs, we can't take them. They're for the big guys. You know, I'm one of the small guys. There are giants in the land. There are giants in the land. That's what they said. They said, we're as grasshoppers in their sight. And so were we in our own sight. I thought they were spies. There they go. CNN, I'm a reporter. How do you see me? Was that what they did? No, it was a grasshopper mentality. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. They came back and they said, we are not able to take the land. They are stronger than we are. The whole nation. You see, the majority report is not necessarily always right. The whole nation accepted the majority report. That night they had a vigil. The Bible says they wept that night. They said, would God we had perished in the wilderness. Would God we had died in Egypt. That's what they said. Caleb said, Numbers 13:30, let us go up at once and possess it. We are well able to overcome it. Joshua said with him, Numbers 14:6-9, particularly verse 9. He said, only rebel ye not against the Lord, nor fear ye the people. They are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. The Lord is with us, fear them not. You see, they are bread. If we like, we jam the bread. Or we butter the bread. Or we mayonnaise the bread. Or we toast the bread. Or we shred the bread. Or we even throw the bread away. They're bread. Let's go eat them up. He had a let go get them attitude. Let's go get it done. It can be done. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All things are possible to him that believeth. With God all things are possible. Let's go get it done. God is on our side. God is for us. We can do it. And you know what happened? God said in Numbers 14:28, as they have spoken in my ears, so I will do unto them. The people that say they can and those that say they can't, they are both correct. If you say you can, then you can. If you say you can't, then you can't. Caleb was the only one who got in that place with Joshua in that generation because he had another spirit. He followed the Lord wholly. Numbers 14:24, Deuteronomy 1:36. He had another spirit. He followed God wholly. That spirit of faith. The Bible says it. I believe it. And that settles it. The Bible says it. I believe it. And that settles it. The Bible says it. I believe it. And that settles it. Let's say that together. The Bible says it. I believe it. And that settles it. One more time. The Bible says it. I believe it. And that settles it. Let's say this also. I am. Who the word says I am. I have. What the word says I have. I can do. What the word says I can do. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm taking all that belongs to me. I will not be denied. I will not back down. I will not back off. 2016 will be the greatest year of my life so far. I'm gonna say to God, to the circumstances, to the land, give me this mountain. I'm taking my mountains. I'm taking my possessions. I'm taking what belongs to me. I'm walking in victory. Victory over the flesh. Victory over the world. Victory over the devil. I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I am the healed, walking in health. My needs are met. My wants are supplied. I believe God. Thank you, Father. Amen. You believe those words? Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Why don't we just bow down our heads? Peradventure, there's somebody here today who wants the spirit of faith. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. I don't mind telling you there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. God loves you so much. He's not condemning you. It's not about a wicked world in the hands of an angry God. It's about a loving Father who was personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world into favor with himself. You see, it all starts when you get saved. That's how you come in covenant with God. That's how you come to be in Christ. God loves you so dearly. Jesus died for you. Amen. So you can have this life. Life as God has it. The very nature of God inside you. If you want to say with me, brother preacher, I want to receive Jesus into my heart. I don't know him as my Lord. Or you want to say, I once knew him, but I got away from him. Went back into the practice of sin and wrongdoing. Could you just put up a hand where you are? You want to get back in fellowship with God? Just put up your hand where you are. He said, if you confess him before men, he'll confess you before his Father. If you deny him before men, he'll deny you before his Father. Just put up your hand. Put it up. Put it up. Put it up. Raise it up high above your head. You want to receive Jesus. Thank you, my brother, for that hand. Thank you for that other hand. Anybody else? Thank you, my brother, for that other hand. Thank you, my sister, for that hand. Thank you, my brother, for that hand. Just put up your hand. You don't know Jesus, or you once knew him and went back into the practice of sin and wrongdoing. I don't mind telling you, he's looking out for you today. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You find rest for your souls. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out. See, there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners who are plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Anybody else? You want to lift your hand? Amen. Or you should have lifted your hand. Anybody else? Now, if you lifted your hand, I want to do what I actually said. I want to pray for you. Why not come right here? Come and meet me in front, right here, right now, right now, right now. Come and meet me right here. Glory to God. Glory to God. You see, the angels in heaven, they are thrilled. There's a shout of joy. You're making the Father's heart glad. Amen. 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 Just keep coming out. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And he has a life of victory for you. He has a life of triumph for you. Amen. He loves you. Just come as you are. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Now, if you're out there in the crowd, I want you to stretch your hands towards these ones. Just stretch your hands towards them. Now, if you're out, why don't you lift one hand toward heaven? Because help comes from heaven. And just say this from your heart. Don't just let it be words. Mean those words. Amen. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I realize I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he died for me according to the scriptures, and that he was raised from the dead so that I might be righteous. Right now, I take Jesus as my Savior and I confess him as my Lord. I'm a new creature. The spirit of faith comes into my heart now. I've got that spirit of faith. I'm not a wimp. I'm a winner. I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. In Jesus' name, amen.